Now, I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Oh my God, we got to update each other.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning back in to another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Dean Ungler, joined in studio by Jared and a very special guest in Vanessa Grimaldi.
Yay!
Hi!
Wow.
Oh, thank
All the way
you.
From Canada.
Vanessa, let's catch up with you for a little bit because I feel like you've been flying under the radar for a couple months now.
And we love it.
And we deserve to be filled in on what's going on
ridiculous.
In your life.
It's been too long.
For people listening in, I only met Dean once and Jared once.
Vanessa and I met at the charity ping pong tournament.
Yes.
And we didn't even really have a conversation.
Nope, it was like a hi. And that was it. And Jared and I met in Mexico at
Evan and Carly's wedding.
Evan and Carly's wedding.
That was a great time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we were supposed to have a photo shoot, but that.
Oh, that, yeah.
We don't, yeah. That fell through. It's
why
okay.
Why don't you guys talk about that?
That was for my charity.
Oh, all right. Never mind. Maybe. Okay. Never mind.
We can plug later.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
No, there's nothing. It's just.
I hate charitable causes.
Yeah.
So fill us in. What's going on with you?
Not much to update you on.
What do you want to know?
I mean, ask the question.
Everything.
Okay,
let's start off with the charity.
Let's start with the charity. So. It's going to be, I think, exactly a year that I started this charity called Know Better You for special education programs in Canada. We had our first fundraiser last summer. We raised $50,000 and we were able to open up sensory rooms, four different sensory rooms in four different schools in Montreal, which are basically therapeutic spaces. And then we launched two t-shirt campaigns, one for Valentine's Day, and that sold out within like 24 hours. And that money went towards a foundation. And now for April, it's Autism Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
So all the money that we're doing for the t-shirt campaign this month is going towards the Giant Step School in Montreal. And there's a little boy named Angelo who's 11 years old. He designed a t-shirt. And all the money is going towards their program back home in Montreal.
So what's at the core of this charity? Why did you want to start it?
I always knew, ever since I was a kid, that I wanted to do something in the charitable world, but I was so passionate about so many things. I wanted to end poverty. I wanted to go adopt all the kids. I wanted to go build schools.
I'm such a better human than I am.
I sponsored a little girl from Cambodia for 7 years, and my end goal was to go to Cambodia and visit her and help build a school in Cambodia, but then I went back to school, and I didn't have the money to do it. Fast forward to The Bachelor, once I was off of it and then once I moved back out here in LA, I had to put teaching on hold, but I always knew that I wanted to do something back with the school and relate back to my students and have that association to them. So I said, what better way right now? I have all this platform and I can do some good stuff with it. So I started my charity. Because I'm a special education teacher back home in Montreal.
That's incredible.
So that's how it happened.
And you're still teaching.
And right now I am not teaching. I'm back in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm back and forth between Montreal and LA. My charity is my biggest. It's my little baby right now.
Nice.
So that's what
and
I'm
it sounds
hoping
like it's doing really
can,
well.
Yeah, I'm hoping it can grow into different parts of Canada and eventually the United States.
Is there a website for it?
There is. www.knowbetteryou.org. And we also have our Instagram account, Know Better You.
Perfect.
Oh,
so
that's
if you're
incredible.
If you're listening and you want to get involved,
yes,
www.knowbetteryou.org.
And there's a few t-shirts left. I think there's an extra small and a large left. It's for girls only, but...
Did you bring t-shirts for us?
I didn't. The extra small will fit Dean. Yeah.
I'll take the extra small. Jared can have the large, I suppose. Yeah. That's fine.
I'll swim in it.
Yeah.
Anything to help, right, guys?
Charitable causes.
Anything for No Better Than You. Or No Better You.
No Better You. Yeah. So that's basically it. I've been back and forth between Montreal and LA. I was in Montreal for a couple of months, like 2 months, I think. And I came back to LA 2 weeks ago. And what do you want to know?
Okay. Well, yes. Yeah, yeah.
They're like staring at me.
We
like,
talked about this in the back of the room a little bit. You know, once you go on a dating show, one of the questions you're always going to be asked into the end of time
right.
is going to be what's going on in your dating life.
Right. And that's what I want to ask you guys.
Well, okay.
All right. Let's just focus on the prize at hand, Vanessa. Vanessa, yeah. Are you dating anybody?
Okay.
Are you dating? Are you single?
I actually
Are you
suck
married?
At dating, which
What's
is hilarious.
Hey,
I really
hey,
do.
Hey,
welcome to the podcast.
And I will say, I suck at dating because I don't like dating. I don't like, oh, well, let's see. I find like this is the line nowadays. Well, we have to start off as friends to see if we can be in a relationship. Like, no. Why? What's the point of like, that's why I love The Bachelor. I was like, all right, we're going to speed this process up and we're going to see if we can actually make this work. And, you know, I'm not one to see where things go and go with the flow and date multiple people
you
at the
like
same time.
You want to like date with a purpose.
I want a date, and I want to go all in to see if, you know, we can be something more than just, you know, friends or...
Yeah.
So I
something
find
more substantial.
Right. So I feel like that's been my challenge in dating.
Well, you scare guys away?
No. I guess... I kind
in LA,
of, I guess I can.
I think that could be scary for...
A little intimidating.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it might...
Yeah, it's like just, I know what I want. I just want to find someone that knows what they want too. Right now, I am dating someone. Ooh. Oh, you heard it here first!
Wow!
Exclusive!
Let's go!
Holy
Call TMZ.
Moly.
Yeah, so I'm dating someone right now.
Well, tell us about him.
Yeah, what's his
name,
address, social security number? Well, can you tell us how long you guys have been dating?
That is all you're getting.
Oh, man, what a tease. It's very recent.
He's so my okay.
Is he
any
how
ladies?
About this?
Yeah.
Is he Canadian?
He was gonna say something.
Is he Canadian or American?
Good question.
That's a very good question that I'm not answering.
Oh.
So
he's someone we would know.
Oh, it's like playing Guess Who. You know the Guess Who game? Like, oh, does he wear a
does
hat?
Does he have a mustache?
Finish what you were gonna say because I feel like you're gonna say something.
I forgot
juicy.
What I was gonna say.
Oh,
wait. Okay, ladies that are listening, that are tuning in, it's hard to find someone. Especially now coming out here in LA and like, you know, you have all these different distractions and stuff. I always wanted to find someone, and we're talking about this in the back room. I want to find someone who's going to be a great father, someone who's going to be a great husband, someone who's family oriented. You know, I wanted all those things, but the people that I was dating either had some of it, but they didn't have all of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, like, I don't care what job you have. I don't care, like, if you have a million followers. I don't care. I'd rather you not have Instagram. I'd rather you not know I was ever on the show, which this guy has, like, he's, like, not related to Bachelor World at all.
Clue.
And, you know, he appreciates the fact that I... What?
Narrows it down to, I don't know, 6.4 million?
I know. In Canada.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait.
Okay.
Oh, wait. What? Hold on. Did I miss something?
Yeah, you did.
I think he's Canadian. I think
Thank
we just
Dean.
Deduced that.
Canadian.
I'm like sweating right now.
Can we talk about how you two were introduced to each other?
No.
Come on.
No.
That's a very interesting question.
Yeah, it's a very generic
through a
way.
Through a friend.
Okay.
Again, like, I don't know where this is going to lead, but I do know that I do appreciate all of his qualities, and I appreciate the person. I feel like I'm a much better person when I'm with him. I'm just very lighthearted and, you know, I'm focused on the right things and I'm not distracted by.
Yeah, totally.
The what?
The fake world that we
It's hard. You
could
get very distracted
of,
by.
That, you know, we are a part of.
Yeah. Sometimes I find myself on Instagram or Twitter for like just scrolling through and I'm like, what am I doing with my life? I could be doing something so much more productive. So I can empathize with that.
Is he in the entertainment industry
at
all?
No.
That's nice.
Not at all.
Is he in the special education industry?
No.
Is he... Is his favorite color blue? No.
is it Wayne Gretzky?
Actually, I wouldn't even know.
I was about to ask if he was a hockey player because you were rumored.
Yeah, rumors, guys.
I'm just saying, hey, I only report on rumors.
Which is hilarious. It's like, if I were dating every guy I went on a coffee... went out for coffee with, I have a lot of boyfriends. Like, no, that's not true. It was a friend that I knew before the show. We're both in Montreal. We're like, let's catch up. So much has happened in the last couple of years. And yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, hey, there. At the end of the day, we're happy for you. Your charity's
Thank
doing
you.
Well.
Thank you.
You seem happy.
Great. Thank you.
Obviously, Jared, I know you incredibly well.
Obviously.
We can sense the happiness that's just illuminating off of you right now.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is that why you said no? Did you get asked to do Winter Games?
Oh, and that's what I want to ask you guys. Wait, did you do it?
Jared didn't do it.
No. Dean, you did it.
I did it.
How are my fellow Canadians on there?
Kevin and Benoit.
Yeah, Benoit's from Montreal.
Loved them both.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great people. I've never met them, but...
Were there more Canadians? No, those
no I think that
too.
Was it.
Yeah.
No, so I didn't do Winter Games. I wasn't over my relationship with Nick, and I was telling the producers this, I'm like, well, I'll come on it if I don't have to go on any dates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I don't want to be targeted as a girl who like maybe gets a date card and says no every time, or I don't know, you know, I there was a lot of things going on in my head, and I'm like, I just didn't feel comfortable doing it, so I didn't do it.
Probably,
and I'm glad I did it.
Probably for the best. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely for the best. So you seem pretty happy right
now. Yeah. I'm good.
Great. And so we're basically retiring the whole Bachelor franchise, it sounds
probably.
Like.
Probably. I mean, listen, I never say never because I never thought I was ever going to do Bachelor.
Right. Yeah, we'll see on Paradise this summer.
But I think they're starting to cast Paradise.
Why? Did you get a phone call?
Maybe.
Yeah, she got a phone call.
Maybe I did. Well, I got a phone call, but it didn't have to do with Paradise. It was like, hey, let's catch up. But I'm like, huh?
You know
it
had exactly. to do with
Paradise. Yeah, I'm like, oh, are you dating anyone? I'm like, why do you ask? And then I was like, when I hung up, I was like, oh my God, they probably want to see if I want to do Paradise.
100%.
Of course, why not?
I, no.
Well,
you're very happy right now.
You so, got to do what's obviously. Best for you. I think that we should all just safely retire the Bachelor franchise.
I think so.
Wait, Jared, you've been on it twice?
I've been on three.
What show are we talking about? Domestic shows?
Yeah,
international
shows? Oh, wait, so you were on Caitlyn, Caitlyn season, which I love Caitlyn.
She is the best person ever.
Yeah.
Never met her.
And she's Canadian.
Never
she's
met
awesome.
You never met Caitlyn?
No.
Oh my gosh, she's hilarious.
Awesome,
yeah, she's no, cool. She's great.
And Sean is just as equally as cool. They're like the best couple.
I love them.
Yeah, them and Tanner and Jade, my two favorites.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm biased, but.
Carly and Evan, too. I mean,
of course, Carly and Evan. I'm sorry. Those three, the best.
I was going to say Danielle and Polly, but Polly's not from Bachelor franchise.
Who's Polly?
Polly's from...
Oh, Malby.
Yeah, Malby.
Oh, we should have Danielle on this podcast.
I love her.
Yeah. She's my favorite.
I've never met her, but I've heard she's very nice.
She's incredible. And you guys, I feel like a lot of your priorities align because she's obviously a nurse and works with kids. And
she's worked with charitable organizations, went to Kenya to help nurses out in Kenya.
But yeah, so I was on Caitlyn's season, then I did 2 seasons of Paradise, and then I made a pit stop down in Australia.
3 seasons of Paradise.
What?
So
when was this Australia happen?
Oh God!
When did that happen?
Last November. So I got a phone call. So I got a phone call about Winter Games, and then I was gonna possibly do it, and they wanted to bring me in to talk about it, and then I got an email from Warner Brothers Australia, and I was like, "This can't be
real." Were you the Bachelor?
No. I was on. They were doing a first season of Paradise ever. So I never answered the email back because I thought it was not real.
Uh-huh.
And then I got a phone call from Australia, and they said, hey, this is Warner Brothers Australia.
Hey, mate.
Hey, mate.
And so they were like, we want you to do Paradise. And at the time, I thought I might potentially be doing Winter Games. And so Warner Brothers America called me and said, listen, Winter Games is going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Australia called. They want you for their Bachelor in Paradise show. We think you should really do
Plus,
it.
Plus, spend a month in Fiji or spend a month in Vermont. I think I would take Fiji.
Well, that's
over
the thing.
That.
So, yeah. But it worked out well. The reason I did, a lot of people were like, why would you do that? I hate that question, though, when people are like, why would you go back on? Why would you go back on? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, the question I keep repeating to myself is, why would I not go back on? Because the main reason why I would not go back on these shows is I'd be scared of what people think of me.
To avoid the scrutiny.
And I think that's such a lame excuse to not go back on a show, or at least
right.
not even the show, but the experience of it. To say no to the experience of doing this because I'm nervous about what people are going to think of me, I think it doesn't make me feel too good about myself
right.
if I made a decision like that. So I was like, I talked to my family and my friends, and they were like, you're an idiot if you say no for an opportunity to go on a show in Fiji. And I was like, you're absolutely right. I'm going to go do it. So I did it. It worked out well. I didn't even kiss anybody. It just aired. I'm off, so I can talk about it now.
Wait, this was November
this
of 2017?
This was last November. And so it was just airing right now.
Oh, wow. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I'm so removed from Bachelor World. I don't know much.
It's only airing in Australia. So nobody knows really about it.
So you were in Fiji? How was Fiji?
I was in Fiji. It was beautiful. So we stayed at this beautiful resort. It was like 2.5 hours from the airport. And obviously, the art department got all in there like a month beforehand. It just was ridiculous looking.
How long was the filming?
So I was there for about 2 weeks, but the entire filming was probably about 3.5.
And you came out single?
Yeah, I came out single. So I didn't even kiss anybody. I know. I made it through 5 rose ceremonies.
What?
I don't know how the hell I did that.
That's
I'm
impressive.
I'm almost weirdly impressed with myself.
That is impressive.
But it was great. I made so many great friends from that show, and I'm hoping to go down to Australia. Now I have tons of friends and plenty of places to crash. So
that's amazing. That's one spot I've always wanted to go to.
Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have family out there in Melbourne.
Oh, you should go.
Melbourne?
I know, yeah.
Melbourne.
Melbourne?
Is
no,
it
I think
Melbourne?
It's Melbourne.
She's right.
Thank you.
Oh, she's always right.
The teacher's always right.
Anyways, well, I'm glad we covered all those topics. Great lead into to Gina, who we're going to have on later, who's been a life coach and a relationship therapist in her own right. She's actually written a couple books. But in the meantime, I want to tell you guys a little bit more about Brooklinen. Did you guys know that you spend about a third of your life in bed? For me personally, it's about half of my life.
I was about to say, it's at least
50%. That's like my entire life.
Yeah. Well, so Brooklinen, basically what they are, it's luxury bedding at a very, very fair value.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the founders of the company, they stayed at a 4-star, 5-star resort. They really liked the bedding. They tried to look it up and buy some for their house, but it ended up being $3,000. And they decided to create equally as good of quality of sheets, but for a significantly lesser cost.
Yeah, but it's just luxury bedding that's underpriced. It was founded in 2014 by a husband and wife. Their names are Vicky and Rich. Their philosophy is pretty much the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials. No crazy prices. And that's exactly what Brooklyn Inn is.
And I'll tell you what, I've done a lot of shopping for bed sheets and all that kind of stuff. I never really know what I'm looking for. I know the higher thread count, the more comfortable it is. I'm putting comfortable in quotations because I'm not really sure.
And also more expensive.
Yeah. They sent me a set of Brooklyn Inn sheets for my bed. And I use a sleep app on my phone that like tracks the quality of sleep you get. Mm-hmm. And it's always between like 60 and 70%. For some weird reason, I don't know why I don't sleep well, but I put these sheets on and I swear I'm getting such better sleep quality. Even the app is up in like the 90s, low 90s, high 90s.
Well, Vanessa is currently petting the sheets, yeah. So they're obviously pretty
I'm
comfortable.
Like,
let me feel these
things.
Caressing
them. No, they're very soft.
I can't believe you got sent some too. I can't believe you haven't used them yet. They're literally life-changing. I wake up every morning so much more refreshed, ready to take on the day. It's funny how much we neglect the quality of sleeping that we do, because again, you spend a third to a half of your life sleeping.
Yeah.
And so for all the listeners listening to this podcast right now, you can get free shipping and up to 20% off site-wide when you shop brooklinen.com this week only. That's Brooklinen, brooklinen.com. They rarely run events like this. They're so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. Rips, stains, all that kind of stuff. You can send them back, get them replaced, which is just a great value. But again, the only way you can get free shipping and up to 20% off site-wide is to go to brooklinen.com. They don't even need a code or anything, I guess, huh?
No, just Brooklinen, brooklinen.com. Best sheets ever.
Close. We're going to jump on the phone right away with Gina, who is a life coach and is going to be able to talk us through a couple things dealing with breakups and all that kind of stuff. So, Gina, are you there?
I am. Hello.
How are you? Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Gina.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, team.
Hey, team.
Hi.
Gina, so you're joined here in studio by me, Dean, Jared, and Vanessa. That sounds like that's four people, but it's just...
Did you say me, Dean?
Me, in parentheses.
It didn't even click for me.
I'm sorry. A little excited about today's episode to have you on and all that kind of stuff. So, Gina, for our listeners, can you just introduce yourself real fast and tell everyone a little bit more about you?
Sure. I'm the founder of InterTech. I work a lot with executives, entrepreneurs, startup millennials, people trying to start a business. I really mentor and coach them on business, relationships, and life. I'm the founder of a company called InterTech, and we travel all around the world from Richard Branson's Necker Island to gang leaders in North Carolina, helping and serving people.
Love that.
That's great.
Yeah.
And we understand a little bit more specifically that you kind of help people with grief and breakups and all that kind of stuff. And you kind of have a not a patented system, but like a five stages of grief that you're familiar with that you kind of help your clients and everyone go through.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, and I thought it would be helpful for you and your audience to really understand the process of grief after a breakup, frankly, after a loss of any kind. Dean, you just broke up with Leslie. How are you doing? How's that going for you? How are you feeling?
I've definitely gone through the stages of depression, anxiety, stress, all those negative, emotions and feelings that you typically go through after a breakup. But things have gotten better. I would say my day-to-day is progressively getting better. But, you know, I'm still currently working through everything.
Well, that's great because that it's a process, you know, for any loss. So I'll walk you through the five stages. And what I find is when I take couples through this or people who have gone through a breakup or people who even like don't get selected on a show, anytime you're disappointed or you have a loss, these five stages can apply. And you weave in and out of them and, you know, without labeling them, they're not negative or they're not positive. They just are. So the first stage is denial. You know that I don't want to talk about it. I'm not ready to talk about it. I don't feel anything. You know, I'm fine. It's actually an important stage. Our brains, our primal brains, are designed to protect our body and mind from hurt. So while people might not realize it, that denial gives you a chance to absorb the reality. How about you? When you went through your breakup, are there times that you just say, I really just don't want to deal with it right now?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because I didn't want to interrupt you. I was going to wait until you finished. But I didn't really have the opportunity to go through the denial stage. I could like sit at my house and kind of, you know, deal with it on my own. But then 4 days after Leslie and I broke up, I had to come into my podcast and talk and share literally every detail about the breakup that I felt comfortable with. So I guess I had maybe a more expedited denial process than is typical.
Yeah, I heard your podcast, and I could sense a bit of just reluctance to really talk a lot about it. What I loved was your respect for Leslie and not wanting to, you know, speak about what happened without her being there, and that was wonderful.
And that was the thing, too. I think I mentioned on that podcast that I was almost dreading coming in and talking about it just because I hadn't really been able to process the emotions fully to the extent that I wanted to. But I understood that it was kind of necessary for the process of kind of life to move on. But
well, and, you know, being vulnerable is such an important aspect of life. You know, being vulnerable with your audience and just sharing what you're feeling, it gives everyone else permission to feel the same. And yet there are times, I'm sure, maybe you've gone home and you're like, okay, I don't want to deal with this right now. You know, dreading to come on the show and actually speak publicly about it. You know, denial is such an important thing to go through, because while it protects you, it gives you a chance to take time to create a safe space to move on to the next stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well-meaning friends will say, hey, let's talk about it, or it's all okay. And you're like, no, I really don't want to talk about it right now. And that's perfectly okay. Denial serves if you know it's a passage and not a place to stay. So denial, you know, really the first stage, and it sounds like you've had your moment. Okay, second stage is bargaining. This is what I call the would've, could've, should've stage.
Okay.
Where you rewrite history. Have you done that? Oh, I should have done this. I could have done that. I would have done that.
Every day of my life.
As in everybody?
Yep. I'm like, yeah. I'm here nodding my head.
Yeah, we go through that. It's our mind rewriting history. And it's an important process to go through. And if you can just, you know, give it that label that, okay, I'm bargaining. And, you know, it's where we take our lessons. In that particular stage, we can extract what we've learned. And yet there's times like, you know, especially if you're on the other side of a breakup, I've worked with people on the other side, and they go, well, if I only did this, you know, she'll come back. Or if I would really just be this kind of man, then it would be right. And yet the experience still happens. Have all three of you gone through that when you've been through breakups?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course. I do a lot of self-reflection.
And not even just breakups. I think pretty much a lot of choices that we make in a daily life.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, or not getting a job, or, mm-hmm. you know, any time there's disappointment or loss, or any time life isn't actually happening the way you think it should.
When you don't go to the gym, when you tell yourself you're going to, when you eat that extra slice of pizza.
Oh, every day of my life.
I know, but, you know, I love pizza, and I love ice cream, and actually I teach health as well, and, you know, you have to just totally enjoy it when you do that. I mean, go get that quart of ice cream and sit and watch a movie, and if you're going to do it, thoroughly enjoy it, because every experience you have and every thought you have imprints in your mind and body and drives your life. So you might as well enjoy those indulgences too.
Love it.
Yeah. So bargaining. The third stage is anger.
Okay.
This is where you'll be angry at someone else, to yourself, or people that are religious or spiritual, maybe at God, maybe with God. Have you sensed any anger?
From myself?
Yeah.
Maybe with myself, I could sense a little bit of anger. I think, as Mark just pointed out, I definitely am very hard on myself at times. And I guess that kind of maybe stems from a bit of anger at myself.
Right. You know, it's interesting because our society teaches us that anger isn't okay. That anger is not a great emotion to feel. And don't be angry. I don't know if you've heard it grown up. I certainly did. Oh, don't be angry. It's all okay. And that anger is an important emotion. And I think our society teaches us to suppress it or deny it or avoid it and pretend it's not happening. And yet sometimes we're just angry at the situation. Maybe even not at yourself. You can be angry at a situation. Mm-hmm. And my feeling is that emotions buried alive never die. Have you guys experienced anger in other situations? Maybe not a breakup?
Well, Gina, I was going to ask you specifically with anger is that I think a lot of people refuse to feel angry because not because of the emotion of it, but because of how they react to being angry. And sometimes they do mm-hmm. things that they regret. So how would you best tell somebody to cope with that anger but also not doing something irrational?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So expressing anger, allowing it, giving yourself permission to feel it is important. And you can express it and release it through exercise, you know, CrossFit, kickboxing, a good long run, just letting it, closing the door with a friend and just letting those words out. When anger becomes hurtful and when damage can be done is when you justify really unhealthy behaviors or lashing out at people. I mean, just pick up the newspaper, for goodness sake. You know, anger expressed in a really unhealthy way is not okay, but there are ways to let it out. I think working out is a great way to express it and just acknowledging, say, hey, you know, I'm really angry that this happened.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've definitely been working out a lot more lately, which is good for me.
Yeah, I remember I went through a breakup like 6 years ago, a big breakup, and I started going, I was like, I'm going to the gym. I went to Planet Fitness, and then couple years later, it just became routine. So I definitely agree. Working out after breakups is an awesome activity.
I think it's also, well, first of all, we all know I went through my big breakup and it was hard for me to get back into my routine of things and find my identity again. So I guess, Gina, my question is, you have these five, we go through these five stages. Are they necessarily in order? Is it denial first and then bargaining, or can you be angry first and then you go through the denial process? And how many times can you repeat these stages?
Oh, well, that's a great question. Also, you can go in and out of all of these stages at any time, in any order, in any length of time. You know, our individual grief is just as individual as we are. Mm-hmm. For everyone, it's different. And your way of expressing anger may be different. Some people are very internal. You wouldn't know it, but they feel it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think for me, I constantly get asked, how do you get over a breakup? And we all process our emotions very differently. And the way that I process my breakups, I give myself a time limit, because I think we naturally can obsess over something that isn't going our way and try to fix it and get stuck in that stage. And I give myself a time limit where I say, okay, by the end of the month or by the end of the week, I want to make sure that I'm over this part of my relationship in order for myself to completely move on from it. Should we be giving ourselves a time limit? What's the process of this?
You know, I think a time limit is great, although for each of us, you know, the time is different. The thing to remember is that each of these stages are passages, not places to stay. So I've worked with people who have stayed in denial for years after a painful divorce. And that may not help them. That may not serve them. You know, a bit of time to just, you know, come to terms with what's happening is great. And being angry or sad, you know, sadness, by the way, is the fourth stage, and we'll go into that in a minute. It's really individual. How are you doing now after the breakup?
I'm great. I think for me, in order for myself to move on and I guess get out of the passages of the five stages, is to forgive myself, forgive the relationship, forgive my partner. And ultimately, I think the biggest emotion for me was failure, you know, failing in another relationship and not being able to make it work when ultimately we were two people that really wanted it to work. But I was stuck in the denial stage for a little bit. I think that was the hardest passage.
Well, and also I would just say maybe you were in the denial stage the perfect amount of time for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than us judging our stages, just know that they're perfect for you. And forgiveness, I love that you go to forgiveness. You know, a lot of people, they're not a lot, some people stay in resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my belief is you only need to forgive once. And when you're resentful, you hold on to it day after day after day. So forgiveness in its most beautiful sense is such a beautiful experience to allow you to move on in any situation.
Vanessa, I just wanted to ask you a quick question. When you were talking about getting over a relationship, you give yourself a certain amount of time to get over this part of the relationship. What did you mean by that? Do you give yourself like small goals within a breakup to be like, Or are you in terms of like, I'm giving myself a week to completely move on from this breakup?
No.
Well, that's what I thought you meant, but I just kind of wanted to get more clarity on that.
That's kind of what I thought too.
No, I give myself like...
Well, what did you mean by like this part of the relationship?
So like there's different stages, like in breakups, there's different stages in a relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think whatever ends up going on in a relationship, you tend to naturally hold on to some sort of resentment in... You know, whatever ended up happening, if it was something that you did, if you resent yourself or resent the other person for something that they did. And I think for me, I just try to process it where I kind of like lay everything on the table and I want to be able to move on from it and not say that I just did. I want to be able to move on from it and actually say like, I feel lighter today because I was able to look at this part of my relationship and forgive myself and forgive the person that I dated for whatever happened during that period of time.
Of course.
But no, I mean, it took me a while to get over my last breakup.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think that's a really smart mindset to have because I think a lot of people, Gina, I don't know if you would agree with this, maybe think of a breakup in the wrong terms where they think, okay, I need to be over this entire relationship and over this person and move on by this date or this amount of time. And usually people don't reach that. And I think Vanessa has a really interesting way of looking at it where she's like, well, I'm not going to move on completely from the relationship in a certain amount of time. But what I will try to do is either forgive myself or mm-hmm. let go of any type of anger or resentment from that I have from that particular relationship or this particular moment and move on from that. And hopefully, you know, small step after small step collectively adds up to a very big step in your life.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love that you shared that there are times that you felt resentment, because that actually could probably go into the category of anger. And yet you gave yourself time, Vanessa, to process, you know, and while we're allowing ourselves time to go through all of these stages, you know, I like to remind people where focus goes, energy flows. So mm-hmm. for the time that you need to process all of these emotions, just keep your eye on the future, on what's possible in the future. What gifts, what lessons do I have from this moment, from this experience, from this emotion, and from this relationship? You know, Vanessa, you said failure. I heard you use that word several times. You know, is it possible that none of these relationships were failures? They were just preparing you to be even more ready and lessons for the love of your life in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I think in the time being, I was focusing on what was negative and I wasn't allowing myself to say like, hey, this person brought me, you know, such positivity and other positive aspects in the relationship and as an individual. But I do believe that, you know, everything does happen for a reason. But I do think that it's important while you're in the relationship to try everything you can to make it work. And then if it doesn't work, at least you can look back and say, hey, we both did everything we can to see if we can move forward, and we couldn't. And I think was an important thing with my ex, Nick. We actually tried everything that we could. And we just were very different, you know?
Sure. And, you know, it's, and having that mindfulness on both of your parts to break up is important. And
yeah.
then to be able to move on. That doesn't always happen with everyone. Sometimes it's a lot more messy, you know, but it's really important to take back and take some time to reflect on what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you give yourself a time limit. The only challenge I might see in people giving themselves a time limit is that they don't give themselves enough time, as one of you just said, you know, okay, I'm going to give myself a short amount of time and I should move on. And yet your body and your mind haven't really had the opportunity to kind of weed through what you need to do to heal.
Right.
Does
but that makes sense. But I think there's a difference with moving on by yourself and just growing as an individual versus moving on to someone else and bringing those, you know, whatever leftover anger or resentment you have from your past relationship into your new relationship, because then you're just basically starting from, you know, 6 feet under again and having to rebuild a relationship that just started.
And doing a disservice
Absolutely.
To everyone involved.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, you are so right. There's a great quote out there that says, it's the space between the love we lost and the love that we hope to find that we find ourselves. And really taking that time to really give yourself an opportunity to just be with yourself is so, so, so important after a breakup.
Love it. Well, Gina, so far we have 4 of the 5 stages from you. Can we get the 5th one?
Sure. The 4th was sadness. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 5th was acceptance. And acceptance doesn't mean that it was all okay. It doesn't mean that it was right or wrong. It just is. It's you're booking another new chapter in your life, grateful for the lessons that you've learned. It doesn't erase the memories. It's just, you're just acknowledging that that was just an experience in your life. And then you may get to acceptance and lead back to the other ones as well.
I'll be honest. I thought it was going to be forgiveness. I thought Vanessa nailed it on the head.
As soon as you said forgiveness, I was like, stage 5.
That's the 5th one. That's the 5th one.
Stage 5 clinger right there.
Come on. Now, under acceptance, you can have forgiveness.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of subsets. There's forgiveness. You know, there's love, there's gratitude. Gratitude is so important. Gratitude for what was great, gratitude for yourself, and compassion. Under acceptance is compassion. Guess what? We all get to be human.
Yeah.
I've gone through some really challenging breakups, but those are all really important, and you can use those in any aspect of life.
And
anytime you're disappointed.
Gina, this is a little bit off topic, but I did read this about something that you said. You said that as children, we're taught to treat people the way that you want to be treated, but you agree that you think the platinum rule should I'd love to hear your perspective on it. You think it should be treat people the way they want to be treated, and I would just love for you to expand upon that for a second.
Fill in the blank. Everyone, fill in the blank. You learn the golden rule. Treat people the way you
want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, bingo. Okay, I say no. Erase it forever. Here's the platinum rule. Treat people the way they want to be treated.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Yeah, so I worked with a couple recently, and I've done this a while, and I've looked at, and, you know, maybe Vanessa, you can talk about this. You said you and Nick had gone through a lot about trying to make it work. Have you ever asked Nick, or has he ever asked you, what has to happen so that you feel loved, completely loved by me?
Absolutely. And I think that's when we realized our love languages were very different. So what he was able to give me was what it wasn't necessarily what I needed, but what I needed from him, he wasn't able to give me. And, it wasn't like we weren't able to exchange the love languages that we both needed because I didn't understand those weren't my love languages that I guess needed or.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, love languages or anything like that. I mean, I think, everyone's different and rarely do people ever ask that question. Because we want to treat people and do things for them the way we like it. And oftentimes in relationships, that is not the case. I mean, for example, my husband, when I asked him the question, he said, oh, you travel around the world. We've been together 10 years. I'd like it just when you're around, just when you're home and we're hanging out together. And I said, that's it? Mm-hmm. I said, ask me the question. And he asked me, and I said, I want attention from you. I want to love. I want you to, I know. It's a
says every girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need more attention.
Exactly, and if you can get that, and it's about the ether. I don't want to just be in your in my ether. I want you to listen to me and hear me, hear my stories, and touch me, and be with me. And he looked at me. He goes, "Really?" I said, "Really." That's right.
Gina, why do you think that's? For me, sometimes I find it difficult to ask that question. Like, what do you need? Why do you think that is? Sometimes I don't know. Is it like? Do you ever find that people come up to you and say it's difficult to ask their significant other what they need? Do you think, because maybe subconsciously I think that I'm already not providing it and I feel a little insecure about it. And so I'm afraid to ask because I'm afraid that I'm not providing what they need.
Or maybe you just think that you are providing what they need without, and you're just assuming, that's kind of like what
you're
saying.
Either one, yeah.
Yeah. That's my take on it is with a significant other, you feel like because you're in the relationship with them, you're giving them what they need. And Mark probably can speak a little bit more to this because he's been married for 19 years, but would love to hear your opinion, Mark. What do you think? Do you think that you always kind of know what your wife's best interest is, or do you constantly ask her what she needs from you to constantly feel loved?
I should probably ask that more, but I think you figure each other out after this many years. Mm-hmm. We've been married for 15, oh, almost 15. 16 years. And so I think that I know we have different love languages. I know that. Mm-hmm. And so I think you come together a little bit, you sacrifice a little bit, and then you also just kind of change what you need to change to make them happy. I think you meet in the middle if you can.
Right. And I think people change every year or well, maybe not every year, but every couple of years. If you've been with the same woman for 15 years, then there are certain stages in your relationship and your marriage that have naturally changed. And,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and once you have kids, everything's out the window.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I have two comments on it. One is oftentimes people don't want to ask and you pretty much answer the question. Number one, they might be afraid that they can't provide what their partner wants. And two, maybe they really don't want to come to terms and they really don't want to be in the relationship, or there's all kinds of personal insecurities that come around it. And then you just guess. And I think that there's a danger in relationships. I just worked with a couple last week and they've been married 32 years. And we went through this exercise and she finally said, what has to happen for me to feel loved by you is for you to stop giving me all these expensive gifts. It's what you love. Mm-hmm. What I really want is a walk in the park and a nice picnic. And I've never wanted to tell you in these 30 years because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. But no, I don't really want that. And so we need to be mindful of mind reading. And it's a simple question. What has to happen for you to feel loved by me? And then decide, like Vanessa did, whether or not you can actually give it. And it's the platinum rule. It applies in business, too, and in all different situations. Don't assume people want what you want.
Gina,
does that make sense?
Yeah, we have a listener email that actually touches on this pretty much spot on. So Mark's going to read the listener email. We'd love to have your two cents on it.
Yeah, we thought this would be a good one for Gina. This is from Miranda. She says she's curious if we've ever covered the topic of self-love. She says, I come from a broken family. My parents divorced when I was 6. My uncles and aunts had relationships that were not built on love, but an obligation. I was never smart enough, pretty enough, good enough. Anything bad that happened to my family or friends, I blamed myself. I was always jealous, and I never thought I was good enough for my then-boyfriend, now husband. I was never kind to myself. Dean, I know you said you don't like taking advice from strangers you don't know, and you're right. I don't know you. But every time your co-host and guest try to say something nice about you, you dismiss it so quickly. It's like you don't want to hear about the better part of you. Maybe you need an episode to talk about your strengths and build on that rather than trying to fix your weaknesses. Ooh. And that is true. When people compliment Dean, he brushes it off very quickly.
I think that's just a sign of confidence.
Confidence.
I've always thought that. Like, people who are able to take criticism and be like, no, I'm not that great. I think a lot of times it's because they're like, well, I'm secure in who I am, but I know that I have a lot to work on. I think it's a lot of the people that are fishing for compliments that are the ones that are insecure, that are like, no, I know I'm great.
That's a good point.
And it's like, well, do you think that or are you just saying it?
Mm-hmm. It's also, too, I think that if you focus on the positives, you're less apt to grow. And if you focus on the things that you know you need to work on, more like, focused on those things, you'll work on them and improve upon them and grow as a person, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to acknowledge when someone does say something nice to you, to internalize it and say thank you and actually believe that. And I think that's important to also, you know, translate that into your relationships and your personal relationships and your work relationships and bring that attribute into those fields.
That's something I've been working on as well. Instead of like, Dean, I'm more like you. When somebody gives me a compliment, I'm like, no. I'm really not, please. And I've been trying to be more like Vanessa, where if somebody gives me a compliment, I'm like, thank you. That's mm-hmm. very nice of you.
Yeah, I guess, and we know ourselves better than anyone else could know us, so when we get a compliment, and then we could be like, oh, well, really, though?
Yeah, really, no, I suck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's, I don't know.
You know, I have some thoughts on it. First of all, people love to give compliments. It's like handing you a gift, and you saying, no, thank you. In some instances, it's giving the gift to the person giving the compliment by saying, you know, even if you want to go to an extreme, you can say, thank you, I received that. That just made my day. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Rather than denying the gift. And it's the meaning to give it. So from the time, it sounds like from the person who sent the email, she had a lot of challenge growing up. And from the moment you're born, every word you say or hear, every thought you have, every experience you have, imprint in your mind and your body and defines who you are in this world. The words that you put after I am are the most important words psychologically you ever say to yourself. And in relationships, if you have low self-esteem, and you don't really feel that love or care for yourself, and it's such a cliche term, you know, oh, I should love myself, but really, it's really appreciating and enjoying yourself. It's very challenging to be in a relationship because then you'll be grasping for those words from someone else or that experience, and no one will fill you up as much as you fill yourself up. So when people go through breakups, I always tell them, you know, people say, okay, well, let's focus on what you want. And I have people focus on learning to experience the pleasure of their own company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just really taking yourself on a friggin' date. Go on a date and tell the server or go for a hike with yourself. When you can say, I really just enjoy my company, that will attract people. And there's a difference between attraction and grasping. And so really, maybe it's self-love. Maybe it's just learning to enjoy the pleasure of your own company. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Love
I think we
it.
Can all agree that time spent with yourself is time well spent because you're improving and getting better every day.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Gina, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you giving us the five stages, talking a little bit more about your platinum rule. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to maybe understand a little bit more about Gina, be sure to check out her book, What's Your Magical Moment? And go to her website. It's Gina. Gina, how do you say your last name? Chloe's?
Close. GINAKLOES.com.
Yep.
And yeah, there's an article about the five stages after a breakup. You can also email us at info@ginaclose.com and we'll send it to you.
GinaClose.com. Gina, thank you so much for calling in, speaking with myself, Vanessa, Jared, and Mark. And we will be sure to put all of these, ideas into practice and just improve ourselves.
Practice.
Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Gina.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful day.
Have a great
you
day
too.
Yourself.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. So when you guys get complimented on something, like say you're at the store or something, and someone, like this happened to me yesterday, and I was like asking where the soup was, and she like brought me to the soup, and she goes, you have really pretty eyes. And I said, thank you. And I feel like every time I receive a compliment, I want to reciprocate it and give a compliment back. But where is the line drawn there? Like, where do you...
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
I always give, like towards a woman?
Well, so this woman in particular was like 50 years old, very sweet, very nice.
She you just say, yeah.
I'm working on just saying thank you very much.
I think you can. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's fine as well, especially if you're like, you
have
very pretty
eyes. But
I
feel kind
well.
Of selfish doing that. Like...
How
because you want the compliment to be honest, too. So
right, but I would almost rather make them feel better, even if it's like a little bit of a white lie.
But I think I must, but sure, honesty, but it also might make them feel insecure if you're like, you have really pretty eyes, and you're like, thank you.
Exactly. That's exactly.
No,
you're
but like, I
oh,
like.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like a 5 second, like, oh my god, thank you, that's so nice. And you know, like, and actually, like, mean it.
Mm. Let me ask you about that. Well, do you think honesty is the best course of action in confidence
yes.
like that? Really? In
yes.
a 5 second inter, like, I'm going to meet you for 5 seconds. You're never going to see me again in my life. And you don't think that if I said you have really pretty eyes, and even if I didn't mean it,
tell me
you'd
I have
be
pretty
like,
eyes.
You have beautiful eyes.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And then I leave your life and I never see you again. But you always have that moment where you're like, even if you're doubting yourself and you're so insecure, be like, you know what? That guy said I had really
Vanessa
pretty
Grimaldi
eyes.
Told me well, I had pretty eyes that one day.
Well, listen, there was a guy, I don't know if this is like, I was like out at breakfast and this guy was putting this umbrella down and I kind of like messed up and this other umbrella fell on top of me and this guy came running outside. He's like, are you okay? And I was like, who needs a guy in their life? I can do it. And I was just like dismissive, but I was trying to be sarcastic.
Yeah.
And he just walked away and was like, oh my God. And then I knocked on the window. I was like waving at him. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Thank you. And you know, like that was 5 seconds of yeah. me saying thank you. Like, but I didn't, you know, I think it was just like giving the other person the attention that they deserve for giving you. You know, it's kind of like...
Well, that's what Jared is saying, is you should reciprocate the compliment to give them a little bit.
I think it's also context, right? It's not like... That's what everybody says. They're like, I just want to be honest 100% of the time, no lies. And it's like, no. Like, for example, everybody says this. They always use this example. Like, if my significant other was cooking me dinner and I ate it and it tasted like shit, I would not tell them in the moment that this is awful. But people are like, what if she makes the meal for you next time? It's like, listen, I'm sure there's going to come a time within the next couple weeks where she hadn't had just worked on a 3-hour dinner making food for me and I'm going to tell her that it tastes like shit. And people are like, well, you should tell her right there. That's the honest thing to do. And it's like, no, I'm going to say, hey, it's great. And then a couple weeks, by the way, maybe you should cook something different. It was a little...
Or like add some salt.
Like
or...
exactly when she's just sitting down instead of after just working on a 3-hour dinner. Like, I never understand that. And so, like, with the compliment things, I'm really passionate about this. But, like,
I see that.
It's just one of those things where, like, just even if it's not the most, just be like, yeah. Like,
but I feel like it's phony. Like, oh, you have nice hair. Oh, thanks. So do you?
Well,
it's like,
I don't
oh, so then why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me I had nice hair to begin with?
Right. I don't mean phony, but if somebody came up to Dee and said, hey, you have really pretty eyes. And be like, thank you. That was, you know, you have that's a beautiful blouse or whatever.
Well, she's in a uniform at Ralph's. Like,
it could be anything. But for example, like, because I'll never forget. I've always had long hair. I've been very self-conscious. I swear to God, this is going to be the dumbest thing because people hate me for saying this, but I'm very self-conscious about my looks a lot of times. It's why I grow my facial hair out. It's why I grow my hair out because I try to hide as much features as I possibly can. Hmm. But
well, I think you're very good looking.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Tell me I'm good looking.
You're no, very good looking. See? But I remember I cut my hair short. And I'll never forget, somebody came up to me and they were like, I don't like it. And it just killed me.
Mm.
And because it made me so self-conscious, I only wanted to wear a hat for the next 3 months of my life.
Was this someone you knew?
Yes. But if somebody came up to me and was like, you know what? I think it looks really good. It's a change. Even if they didn't mean it. Even if they're like, I don't like it. But you know what? Like, if they didn't like it, I'd rather have them come up and say, yeah, I like it. It looks good. And then 3 months later, when my hair grows back and I feel a little bit more confident, be like, by the way, maybe you should do something else. Like, I wasn't the best in the moment. It didn't look that great. Be like, why didn't you tell me that? Be like, because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. But now I'm telling you so you don't do it again.
But then you'd feel like, I walked around looking like an idiot for 2 months because you didn't tell me the truth.
Oh, you're going to, I mean, but I don't think I look like an idiot, but I just felt so conscious about it. You know what I mean? Like, obviously there's a degree and there's a line, right? If it's something that's so outrageous, of course you want to tell them. But if it's something as simple as, hey, you look really good, like just for a boost of confidence.
No skin off your teeth. It just takes 5 seconds to give a quick little compliment.
I don't know. That's just my thoughts about it. Because it is a fine line. I'm not saying it's not. We're like between honesty. Sorry, man.
What's that? Do you guys watch Silicon Valley?
No.
No.
Easton? There's a new season, and one of the guys said something about supreme honesty, where he basically says, I'm 100% honest about everything I'm feeling in the moment when it happens. That's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is it worth it, or is it not worth it?
Here's what you do, Dean. This is your situation. They come, this woman at the store, oh, you have lovely eyes. You say, thank you so much. You're very kind.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Perfect.
That's a compliment.
I think like
her
a
eyes.
Genuine, like a genuine smile, and like they can feed off of your positive energy. For me, if I'm giving someone a compliment, I just want them to be receptive.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's a great one. Perfect.
All right, well, let's.
But what if they're a giant asshole? What if
no? But they're kind because they said you have nice eyes.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I just always say I'm flattered.
That's
yeah. But I like that you're kind.
I like that you're very kind
because then you are reciprocating in a way.
Anyways, as I'm sure you guys all know, we have Mother's Day right around the corner on May 13th. Mm-hmm. One thing that you guys should always consider getting your mother for a beautiful Mother's Day gift, you know, avoid the flowers. Obviously, those are great. She's probably going to love them, but I guarantee you she'll love something even more. Mm-hmm. It's called the FabFitFun Box.
The FabFitFun.
Jared, I know you've heard about this FabFitFun Box. Plenty Vanessa, I know you've heard of this FabFitFun Box.
I love my FabFitFun boxes.
Vanessa's all about the Fab and the
what
Fit
a
and the fun.
What a fun gift, a Fab and a Fit gift to get your mother on her very special day. I am a firm believer in if you love your mother, you should be getting her gifts frequently throughout the year, and you don't need a day to signify something like that. But
Absolutely. Still
take this opportunity to buy her a FabFitFun Box. You'll get a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, the cool thing about this gift is that it does deliver year-round.
It does. Yeah, seasonally. So
seasonal.
Four
so
times a year.
Four times a year. So not only are you getting a Mother's Day gift on Mother's Day, but you're getting her four gifts throughout the year for just $49.99 a box.
And it's not even just one gift. In each box, there's roughly like 12 gifts from health, beauty, fitness, lifestyle, home, valued at over $200 for only $49.99. If you think about what your mother does, she does basically everything for you. You know, jack of all trades, mm-hmm. expert in her craft in every single sense. And this box will be really able to kind of touch on a lot of things that are important to her, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course. And I'm always guessing on Mother's Day on what to get my mom. And the good thing about FabFitFun is that it takes the guesswork right out of gift giving.
Right. And so if you haven't signed up for FabFitFun yet, be sure to check it out. Go on to FabFitFun.com and use my code Dean to get $10 off your very first box. And like I said, or like Jared said, the box is already $49.99. But if you use the code Dean, D-E-A-N, you'll get $10 off, putting at $39 for over a $200 value box. Mm. And just subscribe. I guarantee the mother's going to love it. She's probably going to be able to use every product. I personally, like, I'm not big into the health and beauty type stuff, but whenever I get these types of boxes, I always sample the products, and they're always phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great. No, I give them to my sister and my mom all the time, and they absolutely love them.
I just give them to my roommates, put them in the bathroom.
Put them in the bathroom?
Yeah, just in yeah,
like my room. Yeah, sometimes they have candles, or they have, like, I have, like, my hand cream sitting next to my bed every night. I'm like, ooh, it smells so good.
Yeah, well, you walked in the studio today, and we smelled your lotion on you. It was delicious. Must have been from the FabFitFun box.
Yeah, Dean and I stink. We need to get more FabFitFun in our lives.
If they had, like, a mail, like, box that they could send, like, deodorant.
Women love this stuff, but guys need this stuff, too.
That's true. I'm not denying it.
We deny it sometimes, but we do.
Anyways, break the mold. Get your mother a gift she's going to love. The FabFitFun box. FabFitFun.com, and don't forget to use code Dean, D-E-A-N, for $10 off your very first box. Check it out. I promise she's going to love it. Best Mother's Day ever.
Emails.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready.
And this would be nice because we have Vanessa here to give the female perspective advice from listeners.
Love
here we
it.
Go. She is anonymous, and I have found the best emails come from people who would like to remain anonymous.
Right.
They're very honest.
Well, can we talk about the anonymous email for a second? Mm-hmm. Because all of the other emails from the named persons, they're anonymous to us anyways.
Yeah, right. But they just don't want their name written.
I don't know who Janice from Texas is, and no, there's anyone else.
But I think it's more so of like Janice's friends will also listen to the podcast, be like, Janice, did you write that email to the How I Suck at Dating
about
podcast?
About me that said exactly. that I ruined your wedding?
Uh-huh.
I called into a sports talk radio one time, and I got like 7 texts to be like, bro, did you just call into this Thugger and Maz? And I'm like, maybe. Okay, and all I said was Jared.
That's actually funny. Okay, I didn't know that.
So not so anonymous.
Okay, well, anyway, this anonymous emailer says, I was in a year and a half long relationship with someone that I thought was the one, and he used to tell me I was the one, too. He's had a lot of family issues in the past year, and I have stuck by his side through them all. He told me he wanted to marry me and have kids with me, even before I felt the same way. But then he started to become distant back in December, to the point where I had to move out for 2 weeks to give him space. He started saying that he was 99% committed to us, but 1% of him was really unsure. A few weeks ago, I found out that he was on Tinder while we were together. He broke up with me and said he just wasn't happy.
Wow.
Do I be patient and hold on to hope or just walk away? Do you think he is just confused?
Vanessa, your opinion first.
Oh, my God.
Vanessa.
Can I just have that piece of paper? Because I just want to look
there
at it
is.
2 seconds. There's a couple of points
right
I want to make.
Sorry.
Okay. One. Hold on. A few weeks I found was he on Tinder while we were together?
Yes. Yeah, that's
okay,
ridiculous.
No.
That's more than 1%
girl,
not committed.
Anonymous woman here,
that's
know
cheating.
Your self-worth. It is cheating.
That's absolutely.
Cheating. It's emotional cheating. It's cheating in general.
And how do we know that he didn't meet up with any of these girls on Tinder?
No. So that's a breach of trust right there. So if anything, he needs to be the one that comes around to you, and that 1% that he's unsure, then he needs to figure his, can I say
Oh, say it.
He needs
say
to figure,
it, girl.
He needs to figure his shit out. You should not be ever waiting around for a man, ever. You should know what your self-worth is. You should know what it is that you want in a relationship. And if he's not able to provide that to you in the time being, then maybe you are meant to be, but not right now. I do believe in timing of things. So maybe he was supposed to be in your life for you to realize what your self-worth is and to build up that confidence so that when you meet the right person the next time around, you're going to be able to have a successful relationship. Or maybe he was supposed to be in your life right now and in the future again. You know, like I really do believe in the timing of things.
Yeah,
but the whole Tinder thing,
That's the part I can't get past.
And the thing is, I hate when people say, well, he said this. Yeah, that's nice, but words don't mean anything. Actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. So you can tell a person you love them, but show them that you love them.
Well, I think that's a perfect example. Actions speak more than words here. He was on Tinder, so it's not so much that he wants to work on this relationship. He wants to find another one.
Here's my biggest red flag with the situation, too. The Tinder thing and what Vanessa said is bad, but when he says... She says he had a lot of family issues in the past year and I've stuck by his side through them all. And then yet he still became distant. I think that in those moments of struggle that he's having with his family, he should lean into the relationship. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like he leaned away from the relationship, which means it's probably going to be a trend moving forward for the relationship. And it probably isn't going to be the best scenario for other than
potentially. I do believe, though, that people do learn from their mistakes. And so maybe this was like a learning curve for him where he needs to learn to lean more into the relationship rather than away from it. But man, that Tinder.
Don't justify it, Jared. I'm talking to Anonymous right now. Anonymous, get out of
Anonymous,
this.
Anonymous, you're worth more than
that. I think we're all in agreement.
And so often, that's the case when people send us these emails. The answer is so often, move on. Yeah. If you're writing us with this question, you kind of know.
You kind of know.
And like Vanessa said, everything's timing. You don't know what the world has in store for you.
With relationships like that, though, they're hard to let go of, I suppose. So it's good to...
It's hard to let go of any relationship.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
But the signs are leading towards, girl, you deserve better.
I can't let go of a coffee mug I got 10 years ago, let alone a relationship.
Olivia is not anonymous. She's Olivia. Oh, listen to this, Jared. It's been great having Jared. I love the perspective he brings to the table, and I hope he'll continue as a regular in the future. Oh,
thank you,
that's
Olivia.
So nice.
I paid her to say that.
I recently started dating a guy, and the first date was great. When it came time to pay, he offered, and I accepted. We made plans to go out for brunch that coming weekend, and once again had a great time. When the bill came this time, I suggested we split the check. He said he would get it, but I reminded him he'd paid last time, we should split it this time. We did split the check. Long story short, the next couple of weeks after this date, we still text occasionally, but I feel like the mood has changed significantly, and I let communication fade out. Did I do something wrong by splitting the check on the second date? I'm 22. He's 25. Help. I suck at dating.
Absolutely not. You did nothing wrong. I don't think that this lack of communication has anything to do with splitting the check.
If anything, I don't know, guys, on your perspective, what's your perspective?
Bring it on. Give me that credit card, let's split this check.
Oh, really? Okay.
We've talked about before, both Dean and I want to pay for the first date. Just for the simple fact of showcasing, like, I think it's very old-fashioned, but I kind of like the old-fashioned of it.
I'm not a fan of these gender normative ideas that are instilled in our brains from long ago. Personally.
Fair.
I am a fan of going Dutch on bills solely for the fact of equality, among other things. However, that being said, on a date, I will always offer to pay. But there is something to be said about the equality and the balance in a relationship.
I agree.
When things are bound to be split eventually.
I agree. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer here. I'm just saying my personal preference.
I think in Olivia's case, it sounds like the relationship was bound to fade out regardless. And now she's clinging on to the fact that she might have done something wrong. And she's curious as to what it was. And this is the only thing that she has to rationalize it in her mind.
Oh, ghosting. Is he like kind of ghosting her?
Sounds like he ghosted
her.
Well, it's just that the mood had changed significantly. And they would text occasionally.
Well, look, how many dates have they been on? Twice?
This is the two,
Two.
Second one.
So I feel when like interpersonal relationships, the first date, it's kind of like an audition. You're not really yourself. You're trying to be polite. You're auditioning to be with that person. The second date, you kind of let your walls down and you start being yourself a little bit more. I don't know. I feel like it takes a couple of dates to see if you want to pursue something with that person. And maybe he was on Tinder and
I think it's one of those situations where he was just dating other people and a relationship with someone else took off faster than theirs.
What if he read it wrong? What if he saw her wanting to pay as a friend zoning him?
Nah.
And that's why it changed.
I mean, if he thinks that, then he's got bigger problems.
I think that should only make him want to work harder, and it sounds like that's not the case. So.
Yeah. Perhaps, but I could see him taking that as, she doesn't feel that way about me. I'm going to move on to somebody else.
He feels like emasculated almost?
Yeah, a little bit.
A lot.
I've been in that situation before where I was out with a young lady who was not feeling it, and she demanded she pay for the whole thing.
Because it kind of takes the pressure of it being a date off.
Yes,
and it's like
we are not on a date. We are two people that happen to run into each other, and food was eaten.
Is that the first or second date, though?
The first.
Okay, well, this is the second date to which he paid for the first date. So I feel
but she offered to pay the first date, too.
But he but he paid.
Did you still, right. Easton, did you still like the girl after the date?
I liked her a lot. Quite a bit.
See?
Yeah.
So that's proving the point that that it kind of instills more of like a, I like this person even more now kind of thing.
Well,
maybe.
In a sense. You've been on dates with a guy you weren't that into and you want to send
And it. I still paid. But oh, sorry, hold on. Guys that I've been into, guys that I haven't been into, I still offer to pay the entire bill.
Okay, but there are ways that you give across the idea that this is not a date, nothing is happening between us, don't try to kiss me, This I'm not there. And I think one of those ways of telling that is, I'll pay for my own meal, thank you very much.
Maybe, but that never in my case.
I don't think it would turn the guy off enough.
My case is like, I'm an independent woman, I make my own money, I don't need you to step in and pay for everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a, but you don't mind if they offer, right?
Oh, of course I don't mind, but I'm saying I'm not giving off, like, for me, I'm not reading Olivia's story like she did something wrong.
I don't think any of us are.
Yeah. I'm just saying, hey, you know, sometimes like when relationships don't work out, you're trying to focus on one thing that may have gone wrong.
Oh, exactly.
And it's completely something that you never would have thought of that maybe you didn't do or did do, or, you know, you can't.
Grasping at straws.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just overthink things.
Yeah. Olivia, I don't think you did anything
wrong. Keep doing you, girl. It sounds like you got your head
great.
On straight.
We have an email from a guy. Sean.
Yeah, Sean. Wait, Sean with the S-H-A-W-N?
This is an S-E-A-N.
Okay, good. We had a Sean 2 weeks ago, S-H-A-W-N. I just want to make sure we're not getting repeat offenders here.
Wide spectrum of people out there.
Otherwise, we're going to have to start charging him.
Sean is 19. He says, I just ended my freshman year in college. My high school girlfriend and I broke up over the summer. After we broke up, she told me she loved me and we were sleeping together while she also started dating another guy and lied to me about it. After that, we still texted every day, including her texting me every time she hooked up or slept with someone, knowing how much it would make me upset, and over breaks, we always ended up sleeping together. I've lost my confidence, and I find myself not being able to go up to girls because I'm so sure I don't have a chance. Do you guys have any tips to help with confidence and how to approach girls at a bar setting or on campus and not be so nervous or afraid of being shot down? Look, I think this is something all guys can relate to, and maybe everybody can relate to, whether you've been dumped or treated like this or not. It is tough to get up the nerve to go up to somebody and talk to them and ask them out.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa, as a woman, what's a nice way to do that? What's
For me, it start off with something like a comedic line, something that's funny that will break the ice. If I know I'm not going to be into that person, or if I don't, you know. Guys, like, my hat goes off to you. It takes a lot of guts to go up to a woman. I will always give 5 minutes of my time, and I will never brush a guy off.
Yeah, but that's not everybody, unfortunately.
No, I know, but, you know, that's the thing. Like, you, as a guy, I'm guessing you have 50-50 chance. Like, either the girl's gonna respond or the girl's not gonna respond. But I wouldn't know.
I think humor especially is like an automatic attention getter.
Yeah,
especially from a beautiful girl.
It's so hard, though, too, because I think a lot of guys sometimes get nervous and they try to say something funny and then it comes out just so creepy and bad. And so it's like, do you even try to be funny, or you just try to be your normal and yourself so you just kind of like play it safe, so to speak?
I'm trying to put myself back in the shoes. When I was 19, ending my freshman year of college, I was in a relationship with a girl, which we recently, we broke up not long thereafter, I think as a sophomore in college. And I took it pretty hard. It sounds like you're taking your breakup pretty hard. It's pretty rough that she's texting you every time she hooks up or sleeps with someone.
Yeah.
I would almost encourage you just to block her number so you don't have to hear those types of things and
Absolutely.
Just allow you to move on. This is so in college when I broke up with my girlfriend, I took it incredibly hard. Like, probably harder than I've ever taken any breakup in my entire life. I like messaged all my friends on Facebook that had met her to like unfriend her and like don't, you know, associate anymore with her. Like, I was like down in the dumps, really, really sad. Granted, I like started drinking a lot just because I was in college with my friends and it was the best coping mechanism I could think of. And I understand like the issue of losing a little bit of your confidence, but I just think that you need to definitely eliminate that from your life as best you can. And honestly, like, you're a sophomore in college. It's not going to be that difficult to meet anyone. I just think you need to kind of keep your confidence up, as difficult as that might be. But just know that, like, I was in the same position 7 years ago when I was in college, and I think it just is a matter of time and getting over it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think the best course of action right now is to probably block her in any way you can right now, whether it be a cell phone, social media. Try to take that negativity out of your life and be able to move on to different women that you're going to be exposed to in college.
I feel like the fear of rejection among guys is worse than it's ever been before because of dating apps. Because dating apps make it so easy.
For women, too.
Swipe, swipe, swipe. Perhaps, yeah, sure. Swipe, 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 swipe. And I hear all these complaints from women about how guys will not ask girls out anymore because they almost don't have to anymore.
Yeah, we hide behind
the phone. Because
of
the dating apps. You hide behind it. You go out in groups and all this stuff. And so it just never happens. And that's so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
For Sean and for other guys, I think you got to get it down to the basics of it is, the worst that can happen is she'll say no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You're not going to die. It's not going to be embarrassing. It's not going to be horrific. She might just say no, and that's fine, and you move on. Right?
Yeah. Vanessa, as a girl, do you think it's coming to a point right now where because of social media and dating apps, it's almost like immediately creepy if a guy walks up to you in a normal situation?
No, I'd rather that.
I think a lot of women would.
I'd rather that. Don't slide into my DMs. That's even creepier.
I'm nervous for somebody who's 19. I'm wondering how a 19-year-old girl feels about that in today's society.
Oh,
I don't know.
Because
I would have if you would have asked me 5-6 years ago, I would have been like, absolutely. Like, I'd much rather be the guy walking up to a girl because that's confidence. She's going to love that. But now I'm trying to put myself into a 19-year-old's mind, and I'm like, I wonder what a 19-year-old girl would think about a guy going up to her at the bar. I don't know. It's just interesting to me.
Depends what he looks like.
I guess. I mean, obviously, it's always the case.
He's 19, so he's probably not at a bar. Although he didn't have to right.
Well, I mean, unless you're in Canada.
So, yeah. So anyway, they're at Chuck E. Cheese. And
I think, okay, wait, let's squash his problem. He just said he lost his confidence, not being able to go up to girls.
I think, like Jared said, you have to delete her out of your life if that's like removing. And that's kind of what I do. After like a breakup, I need to detox from that person, whether that's like, as dumb as it sounds, unfollowing them on Facebook. Or
so
Instagram
true.
Or whatever it is on social media. Mm-hmm. Not having, deleting your text thread so you don't like, obsessively go through it. And like, you don't need that constant reminder. So I think the first step is deleting her number, deleting her out of your life so you can detox from that and not have that constant reminder that you may feel, I don't know what he said, but just not having that confidence.
Yeah, some insecurities.
And you're 19, dude. There you have years ahead of you to meet so many people, so many amazing women out there. So don't think that just because this relationship didn't work out, that other ones won't either.
A big thing too is, you know, meeting girls at bars and parties and all that stuff is great. Definitely like try and stick within your friend groups. I think it's a lot easier to meet girls when you're with your friends.
Right.
And also don't discount like class, library, study sessions, those types of things.
Yeah.
That's definitely like a good place to meet someone.
In college, so many places.
Absolutely.
Of course, yeah. Anywhere you look.
The grocery store, too. I mean, like, you never know when you're going to bump into someone.
Totally. And so, Sean, we also want you to know. Ramen's the best. it's not going to be easy. I think that's the big thing to remember as well, Sean. Like, getting this person out of your life is going to be difficult. And just be aware of that. Because I know some people are like, it's so hard, I just can't do it. Or maybe it's this difficult because I'm meant to be with this person. That's why it's so hard. And I think people need to understand that, no, it's going to be difficult no matter what. And so, we're with you, Sean. But it does get easier. As time goes on, as Vanessa just said, it does get easier. So at first it might be really difficult, but if you cut the cord, so to speak, it will get easier.
And it definitely is difficult. And it's one thing to also know that you're not alone in the situation. Like, we're three people sitting here that
have been
heartbroken.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Like, I'm sure we can all relate to this.
I am the queen of being heartbroken.
Yeah. So just know that. Just know that it's kind of just like Gina said earlier in the show. It's a passage. It's not your destination.
Right.
Yeah.
Use it to grow from it.
That girl was not for you.
Right.
Right.
That was not your forever person.
No.
It's better that you move on.
I agree.
Don't retaliate, though. Don't start texting her about hookups that you're having.
No.
Anything like that.
Be the bigger man.
Take the high road. Anyways, that'll do it for today's episode. Big thank you to Gina Close. Be sure to check out her website, www.ginaclose.com. Big thank you, of course, to Vanessa
Thank
you, guys. This is so much fun. I'm so sad it's over.
Well, hey, we're always happy to have you back whenever you want, whenever you're in Los Angeles.
Open seat for you.
Open seat for you. Be sure to check out her website.
www.nobetteryou.org.
Be
aggressive.
Yes. Yeah. In addition, if you feel like emailing something in like Sean, Olivia, and Anonymous did today, be sure to check out isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. That's the email address. It's not a website. So send your questions, your situations, anything like that to that, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. We're happy to tackle any of them. This has been another week of Help I Suck at Dating. Thank you so much for joining us, Vanessa.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having me.
Be sure to tune in next week where... what's going to happen next week?
Yeah, what's going on next week?
So much good stuff. I'll suck a little less.
Where maybe my outros will suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.